Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson. You with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Beth on the line with me, always singing. I love that title. Beth, talk to us about your independent label.
Well, thank you for having me on the interview. And you know what? Talking about my label is one of the things that I don't do a lot of. I love that question, first of all. As an independent artist, a lot of times you start out wanting to put music out or wanting to be an artist, let's start there, mm-hmm. and you're hoping that you're quote-unquote discovered, and it doesn't always happen like that. And for some people, it never happens, and I think if you're really true to the love of music and you're true to the love of the gift that you have, then you'll do what you have to do to get your music out. I mean, that's one of the things that encouraged me and pushed me to put my own label out, which is called Anise Records. And I got to the place where I wanted to sing, and I never went after trying to get signed to a deal. I initially was like, I'm going to do it all by myself. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn the process of putting music out. I wanted to learn the process of recording. I wanted to learn the process of building a company, building a brand, mm-hmm. building an artist, and what better way to do it than to practice on myself, iron out all the kinks. So once I do figure this thing out, then I could be a blessing to somebody else and help them put some music out. So I started the label in 2015, I believe, 2015 or 2016. And the initial goal was to put my own music out and be in control over how I am viewed. Amen. By the public, mm-hmm. and what music I put out, and the producers and the people that I work with and surround myself with. So I put my first album out in 2017 on my label. I released the single first, and then in January 2017, and then I did the album in August of 2017, and so now I've done 7 singles, and I'm going to release my second full album this year in June of 2022.
Okay.
And there'll be an 8th single that'll come out in March. So within that process of me starting the label and building the label, when I first got started, it was just me. I didn't know what I was doing. And I remember when I went to go get the business name registered and get the LLC and get the EIN number and all of this stuff and get the bank account, I cried because I was so terrified. I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
But I just continued to push and continue to say, okay, I'm going to continue to work. And the next thing I did was I went to go hire producers, and I explained to them what my goal, what my vision was, and that I was doing my own thing and I was doing my own label. And I explained to them the vision of Anise Records, and they were on board. I didn't even have a manager yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got a manager. Then I got a stylist, then I got an assistant, and then, you know, so at this point, you know, from 2016, I think that's the year I started it, and now, you know, there's a full staff now. I have somebody to handle the marketing. I have a manager,
right.
There's a stylist, there's a makeup artist, there's security, there are producers, there's graphics, there's video. I have a studio that I work out of. Those things have come. The label has grown, and I'm really,
yeah.
really proud of myself. And I wanted to pattern it similar after how Motown did.
Okay.
How they had everything in-house.
In-house, right.
And they, you know, we have meetings, and we vote on songs and
mm-hmm.
what songs should be first and what should be done. So it's a very family-oriented label. Also, I patterned after my father. My father worked for Motown,
and
he had his own record label as well. So, yeah, so I wanted to continue the legacy of what my father had started and built, and also what Motown had done in terms of, you know, the grassroots and building an artist and shaping an artist and molding an artist. So that's what Anise Records is, and that's what we do.
That is excellent, and I love that you're a prodigy of Motown, because what you have done is set a foundation, and I know it will come to pass what you are calling for, and that's having a label similar to Motown and having that family vibe in there. Because if you ever been to a jam session, and I know you have, where we all together, and then someone starts singing, and then someone jump on the keys, and then someone's on the guitar and the drums, that energy can never be duplicated. And so I'm glad for Anise Records.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm glad for that. And plus, you know, I tell every entrepreneur, I don't know what book you're reading, but every entrepreneur starts with just like you said, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel this. I'm called to do it. Even when I started the magazine, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But like you said, then you find wisdom. You find people who have done the things that you have done. Okay, as an artist being developed, what have been some of the challenges you faced initially?
The biggest challenge and the constant challenge is money.
Girl, I love your honesty. I love your honesty. Oh, this give family. Family, this is why we say we're key players speak. Because we going to tell you the truth. Girl, go on. I'm sorry.
No, it's true. It's money. It's, you know, first of all, as an artist, you have some type of talent, right?
Right.
You got somebody that believes in you. So what's the main thing that keeps you from being as big as you want to be or as big as you envision? The one thing, and the honest answer, is money. Because if you had enough money, you could buy your way. You could pay for your space. And that's an honest answer. But when you don't have money and you're hoping that somebody, you catch somebody's eye, or you're hoping that the effort, the blood, sweat, tears that you put into it, it is acknowledged by people purchasing your product and booking you for shows, you know? So I would say the first thing would be money. And the second thing would be getting promoters to take a chance on you and put you on a show when you may not have radio play, when you may not be charting. They follow the charts. They follow radio. And to them, they're worried about putting but to the seat. If they don't think you can sell tickets, they don't want to book you, and you can be an excellent artist. But if nobody knows who you are, you know, so those are the two main challenges that I have. And I openly speak about that. I openly talk on that because you have to break that barrier. You have to acknowledge it. You have to talk about it. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
Right.
So you got to do that. You got to talk about what's happening. So those are the two main things, money for the marketing, the budget to get yourself out there, and two, dealing with promoters that if you're not charting or they don't know where you are or know who you are, rather, then they don't want to book you because they're like, well, I don't really know who she is.
Right.
I don't really know. And, but what ends up initially happening is there's always going to be somebody that's going to take a chance on you. There's always going to be somebody that's going to throw you a bone.
Right.
And once you get that opportunity, you better, you know,
do the dang ball thing. And run. Right.
And when you do, that's when they get a chance to see you and book you for additional, you know, shows and appearances. And that's been my experience.
Now, tell us a background of how you began singing. And you mentioned your dad in Motown, but you come from a singing family, or, you know, you just was like, I can sing.
You know, it's weird. You know, my father was a funk brother from Motown, but I did not grow up in the Motown era. Motown had left and gone to L.A., and my father was just a musician here, but he was playing with other artists and doing his own thing. And then I was born, and my father really and my mother did not want me to be in the business, but it was just a natural thing for me to do. So I gravitated to the music department in school and in high school and, you know, kind of did that. And when I got out of high school, I got in a band, started gigging, you know, and trying to find my way and learn the songs and everything. And eventually I really fell in love with the process of singing and recording. You know, I ended up in somebody's studio, started recording. I was like, okay, I can do this. But, you know, at the time it wasn't that I wanted this as a career. And I didn't even think it was possible for me, but I continued to do it because I loved it. And, you know, I went to college and did all of the things that a good child was supposed to do with their parents and go school, get your degree, do all that stuff. I did all of that.
Right.
And I was like, this ain't me. You know, I got the job, corporate America, sat in the cubicle. I was like, this ain't me.
Right.
I eventually stopped. I got married. I have a wonderful husband. And my husband was like, why are you in the office? Like, you need to be singing. So my husband told me, he said, stop working and let's see what happens.
Amen.
And initially what happened, I got a job as a receptionist at a recording studio. I said, well, you know, you got to be strategic in the moves that you do. You know, you can sit at home and wish and dream about singing, but you're not putting yourself before people or where singers are and musicians are. So I got this job at a recording studio. They didn't have to pay me any money. I was getting $10 an hour. You know, you can't do nothing with that.
Right.
But, and it was, you know, this was a couple of years ago,
right.
You know, they weren't paying me enough then, you know, but I took the job and I sat there at the front desk, answered the phone because I was like, okay, somebody gonna come through here and they gonna meet me and we gonna figure this out. So that was my idea. That was my strategic plan to get discovered. And it actually worked.
Wow.
So I had already met Michael Powell, who did Chapter 8 and had worked with Anita Baker. I had already met him in passing, but he would come in and out of that studio and he worked a lot. So one day he came in and I was like, let me shoot my shot. And I talked to him and asked him, could I sing with him? And he was like, yeah, okay. And then one day he called me upstairs because the recording area was upstairs.
Uh-huh.
This was like in a old brick building, like 3 or 4 floors.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called me upstairs and asked me to demo a song for him. And I did, and he really liked it. And then from there, he put me on Yolanda Adams' Christmas album. I think she's only done one album, What Christmas Means, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up doing background on 4 songs on there. And then I actually, the song that he had her do, you know, I demoed the vocals. And then from there, he was like, you know what, you're all right. So then he took me to Aretha Franklin. Because he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do background. I was going to be a background singer. I don't even want to sing lead. Like, it's just too much. I just want to sing background.
Mm-hmm.
So Aretha Franklin had come in the studio one day for something. You know, I'm shaking in my boots. He literally walked me right up to Miss Franklin. And he's like, Aretha, because he worked with her.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I want to introduce you to the young lady, and do you need any background singers? And she looked me up and down.
I love her.
No, I love her, too. And she looked me up and down. She said, what's her name? And I told her, I said, my name is, you know, Beth Griffith Manley. That's my whole name. And I said, you know my dad. My dad was Johnny Griffith. She said, yeah, I know your daddy. And I said, okay. You know, I would love to have the opportunity to work with you. And she was like, who else have you done background for? And I was like, I mean, I've done recording, but I've never been on tour. She said, oh, well, you ain't going to work for me. Like, crushed my face right there. And I was like, ooh. And she was like, I don't want you working with me to be your first touring experience. It's a lot, and it's too much. So
right.
And she was absolutely, now, I was taken aback, but she was absolutely correct. No love lost, because I still love her.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, fast-forwarding years later, I was able to talk to her again, and we talked again because my father was her first keyboard player that toured with her when she first went out on the road.
Mm.
So she definitely knew my dad, but we just didn't get into it that first initial meeting. But later, I got a chance to talk to her again, and this is probably the year before she passed away.
Wow.
And we did a tribute for her in Detroit, and I was able to talk to her again, and she told me some more stories about my dad, and that was so... you know, that just warmed my heart. Yeah. Father was already deceased. So for her to share that story with me, you know, it was amazing. Back to with me getting started. So after Ms. Franklin said no, then Mike was like, okay, I'm going to take you to somebody else. And he said, but just hold on. We'll figure something out. So by this time, I had got another job somewhere. I don't think I was working at the studio anymore. But Mike and I were, you know, we had developed a relationship. I was working with him in the studio, demoing things for him, working with him here and there. We had a conversation, and I asked him, I said, Mike, do you think I could work with Anita Baker? And he was like, nah, I don't think that'll work. I said, well, why not?
Yeah.
You know, is it you? And he was like, nah, she's got singers, and she's really particular, and, you know, I just don't think that's going to happen. I said, well, if something ever happens, would you please call me?
Right.
He's like, yeah, but nothing's going to happen. I said, Mike, okay, but if something does happen, please, just give me the opportunity. I said, just like Aretha said no, Anita may say no, but just give me an opportunity.
Right.
He said, okay, but ain't nothing going to happen. I'm like, that was the last thing he said. I said, okay, just, you know.
Right.
So month or two later, I'm sitting at my other job, and the phone rings. And I had been calling Mike just to check on him and see if he had any things he wanted me to demo so I could come in the studio or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he called me, and he was laughing. Like, I picked up the phone. I said, Mike, I've been calling you. And he's just like, like, he's just laughing the whole time. And I'm like, what you laughing at? He was like, remember that time we were talking about you working with Anita? I said, yeah. He said, and I told you what, nothing going to happen. And you just said, if something happened, I said, yeah. He said, well, something happened. And he just bust out laughing. I said, are you kidding me? He was, and this was like on a Monday.
Uh-huh.
He was like, can you do a show with her on Friday?
What?
I said, yeah. He said, we got about 7, 8, 9, 10 songs you need to learn. I was like, wait, what? But Nigeria, when I tell you, he called maybe 2 other girls, and we did that show with her on Friday.
Wow.
And working with her was the beginning of everything else for me. So we did the one show, and the week before, my husband tells me, you need to get your passport. And I'm like, I'm not about to go anywhere. He was like, you need to get your passport. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, fine. So then we do the show on that Friday. That night, I'm laying in the bed, go to sleep. I had a dream. I was traveling all over the world with Anita. It was the craziest thing. And I woke up, like, I was like, take me to the post office so I can get my passport. And my husband was like, I already told you to do that. You slow and you late. I said, no, no. I said, this, what I just saw, I said, we need to go. So I called the other two girls that were doing the background with me. I said, you guys, we need to go get our passport. I just had a dream. And they were like, okay, whatever. We'll go get the passport. And I'm like, Anita is doing it. Like, take us. And they were like, no, it's not going to, you know. I said, well, I'm going to get mine.
I know, that's right.
I got my passport that Saturday. They got theirs too. By Monday, Nigeria, I'm telling you, honest to God, too, Anita's manager had called me on the phone and was like, hi, Anita really likes you guys, and she needs some singers, and she's going to London next Friday.
Wow.
I threw the phone. And I was like, okay, guys, you showed me this, like, and probably within 10 days, I was on a plane to London with Anita, and that took me 5 years out with her, traveling the world.
Wow. I mean,
so
this is
that
like,
was the beginning of me doing the background and me watching her night after night after night.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started saying, okay, I really like this. This is a whole nother level of me seeing the artistry of it, the live shows. And then after working with her, you know, then I started working with Kim. So it just kind of transitioned. And then within that time frame, I was like, okay, I need to, then Mike came to me and he was like, you need to put your own project out. So that's the whole long story of how I ended up where I am now.
I love
it. You know, I just started out just wanting to demo songs and be a background singer. And I had no intention of being a solo artist, doing a label, none of that, none.
Man, that's powerful. That's what's up. I mean, geez. And I'm listening to you and I'm like, I could see how God was just ordering your steps. You know, like you said, you went to school, you did the good girl thing, you know, you got a corporate job and the doors just kept opening and kept opening. Mm-hmm. But the key word is you have always been obedient. And so even you didn't move fast when he was like, get the passport, or you didn't, you know, prompt to do, but you were obedient to every step, and that's why you're where you are today. Now I want to talk about the big picture of you doing the standing with Whitney Houston.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments in my life. Whitney, you know, is my favorite singer. I say that is because still she is by now my favorite singer, and I just, you know, the hope and the wish and the dream to meet her was something that was in the back of my mind. I remember, you know, looking at her on that album cover when she put her album out, and I could relate to her being tall, thin, you know, dark skin, short hair. I was like, that's me all day. And you don't see women standing in a swimming suit on the cover of an album. You know, you don't see that. It was so cutting edge at the time. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, oh my God, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Like, that was to me.
Right.
And then you hear her sing and then it's just like, oh my God. So, and then I looked, you know, I started researching her and then I realized we have the same birthday, which is August 9th. So she just absolutely became like everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind and in my heart, I wanted to meet her, but I didn't think it was possible. And it's crazy because I didn't know how it was going to happen, and I didn't think it was going to happen because I was working with Anita, and at the time prior to me coming with Anita, it was always this Whitney Houston and Anita Baker rivalry thing at the Grammys. I had watched that growing up,
right?
And when I started working with Anita, Whitney's camp never crossed Anita's camp, and I say cross, I didn't mean in a negative way, but they just never crossed paths, you know. So I was like, well, I'm out here and I'm meeting incredible people with Anita, but Whitney is not going to be one of them. So whatever. It was during some downtime. I wasn't with Anita anymore. And this was prior to me starting to work with Kim.
Okay.
I actually met Kim on the movie set at Sparkle. Whitney's had this role, but they really weren't talking about it that much. And I went to go audition for the movie just to be an extra and a stand-in. And I was like, you know what? Let me do something relating to acting because there's nothing happening with singing right now. Let me just do something. And I went down there, auditioned, gave them my information, and they called me back and still didn't even tell me what the role was. They just told me to show up one day. I did. They looked at me, got my measurements, all this kind of stuff. Still didn't tell me what I was doing. Then they called me back and told me I had gotten a part. But I was like, what part? Like, what am I doing? Like, they really didn't give me a lot of information. And they finally told me, okay, you're going to be the stand-in and body double for the main character. I'm like, okay, and who's that? When I tell you I found out it was Whitney Houston, I was like, who's playing a joke here?
Right.
It's not funny anymore, you know?
Right.
And it was her. I got a chance to, for about a month, month and a half.
Wow.
I got a chance to watch her every day. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to be in the same room with her every day.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to say good morning to her every day. I got a chance to hear her singing on set when it wasn't her time to film. I got an amazing picture with her.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to talk to her and tell her we had the same birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to wear clothes that she had. You know, it was just an incredible time in my life. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I'm so grateful to God that he allowed me to connect with my favorite singer. And this was months before she passed away. This was the latter part of the year. And she passed away like in February. And I was just so grateful.
Man, to those who are listening, be consistent and passionate about what it is you want to do. Beth, your passion is just flowing through. Like, this is what you decided to do, and you did it. So the message is, if you want to do it, you can do it, but you have to be willing to do it. You know, you have to be willing to be the secretary at the record label.
Yeah,
you have to
yeah.
be willing to make some sacrifices and not be all grand. Like, well, y'all, I can sing and I can do this. And, you know, harassing people. She politely just asked, should something happen, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me know.
Yeah.
And you have to trust the process as well. When you're trusting the process of something, there's multiple processes going on at the same time. You have to know that.
Mm.
You're preparing for something. What you're preparing for is preparing for you as well.
Come on.
And so you have to, it has to be synchronized. And so you have to understand that's how the universe works.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about you. Because when you walk in, you're going to create a shift. And it's going to change the trajectory of a lot of things.
Right.
So you have to make sure that your mind is right when you walk in. So that the flow continues to go. You're not supposed to come in and disrupt. You're supposed to come in and fit in with that flow and continue to move. You have to understand that that's what's happening. And you can't get upset because things are not happening when you want them to.
Right.
It's not happening yet because it's not ready for you to enter into that moment yet.
Right. Besides singing, and I'm going to get back to that because you have some great things coming up. You have a children's book.
I'm Beautiful Inside and Out.
So now how did you decide to make a children's book?
I wanted to do something different, and I wanted to diversify myself.
Come on, girl.
And I want to tell my story indirectly. That's my story. That's how I felt as a kid.
Nice.
And that's how I felt as a kid. And sometimes children are not able to express how they feel and express that they don't feel a part of, or they don't feel beautiful, or that they feel ugly, and all of that. I felt all of that as a kid. And so now I feel like a butterfly.
Because yes, so, you are beautiful.
You know,
you are beautiful.
Thank you. And I had to get there. I had to grow to that, you know. And I know, you know, you watch the news and or you hear or read articles about children who are bullied and who are teased, and they don't know how to process that. They don't know what to do.
Right.
They're not necessarily equipped with the skills to handle that. So this book is a soft way of explaining to children to when someone's bullying you, when someone's teasing you, when someone's not being nice to you, get away from them. And also that you're going to grow into your beauty. You're going to grow.
Man, I love it. And where's that book available? We want to get that in real quick.
It's available on my website, and it's only on my website, and it's at bethalwayssings.com. It's
Okay.
BethAlwaysSings.com.
Yeah, we'll have that on the post as well. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Let's spin back to music. Peabo Bryson. I
Yes, ma'am,
love
as well.
Peabo. How did that situation happen?
You know, when I was talking about the promoters in the city,
Right.
there are a few that will give you a chance. And I'm so blessed that there is a promoter that I had tried to get in contact for a long time. And he had opportunity seeing me live.
Oh, okay, good.
And we connected, and he put me on the show. He said, "I think you'd be great for this show." And I'm so appreciative.
Right.
You know, I get to do open for him, and I'll be there. I'll do a 30-minute set with my band. I'm so excited to be on the stage again, because
Man,
he was a legend.
yeah. You've been around legends. You are going to be a legend. Your footprint is everywhere. Everywhere.
I received that. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
that's and you can sing. You know, you're not
Thank
around
you.
these people just 'cause, you know, you're cute. You're cute, but you can sing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, because that cue will go away. You
You
can
ain't
draw
never
that cue
lie.
on.
You ain't never lie.
You could draw it on, and then you can wash it off at night. But singing. So I thank you for that. I truly thank you for that. I feel blessed. I really do.
You are. And I mean, you talked about the movie Sparkle, but you also been on television, a contestant on The Voice. Now, what was that experience like? Because I've talked to people who've been on the gospel show with Kirk Franklin, but I have never talked to
Yeah, Sunday's
someone.
best.
Yeah, Sunday Best. Thank you, girl. I have never talked to someone who's been on The Voice. So, woo, tell us about that and how you decided to be on The Voice.
You know, the whole thing about The Voice is you're looking at it, and you're looking at the, because I look at numbers and I look at ratings and things, and you're looking at the opportunity to be on a show that may have 8 to 10 million people watching you per
Right.
episode. That's frightening in itself. And then you have to break it down even more than that. 8 to 10 million people are going to judge you and critique you. And then you break it down more than that. You've got coaches on the stage that are, you know, major artists,
Right.
and they're going to judge and critique you, and you could be sit home in front of these 8 to 10 million people.
Right.
And so with that thought process, I said, "Oh, I'm not going on that show. You know, I'm already working. There's no need for me to even put myself through
That kind of
that drama."
stress,
That was
yeah.
my initial thing. The show scouts for talent, as well as you can do the cattle call audition, whatever, you know. And I'm fortunate that they reached out to my manager and asked me, did I want to do the show? And I initially told them no. I was like, no, you know, I'm too
I'm
grown, too
good.
old. I'm not involved. I'm not doing all this. I'm good. I could be going on this show and tell me I can sing or not. Like, you know, and
Right, I know
I'll
I
be
can
honest, that's
sing.
what
You
I
ain't
was
gotta
thinking
tell me
initially.
if I can sing or not.
Like, I'm already working, like, you know. And then, you know, I had put this album out, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you want something different, you got to do something different. So I said, well, let me go on this show and see what's gonna happen. And they happened to call back again, like maybe 6 months later,
Wow.
and talked to my husband, who was like, well, you're not doing nothing else. You know, I
I
said,
love your husband. Tell him
I
I
will be.
said hey.
Yeah, because he will be like, you're not doing nothing else. You're doing what you do. But he was like, you want to do something different. You want to grow. So, you
Right.
know, so I said, okay. So I went through the process auditioning, and then, you know, I'm back and forth to LA. It's a long process. And I make the show. I'm grateful. I had a wonderful time. When I tell you, it was a great growing experience for me, an experience to confirm that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And I really appreciate the lessons that I learned from Kelly Clarkson, who was my coach first, and then John Legend, who was my second coach. Honestly, I don't like that I got sent home as early as I did,
mm-hmm.
but I have to trust the process.
Right.
And there was some things going on in my personal life that God knew best.
Right.
So when I came home, it was time for me to come home in my personal life. Musically, no.
Right.
But personal, yes.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And so mm-hmm. it was just a great experience. It's on my resume. No
That's
one could
right.
take that away.
That's right.
You know, my blind audition was over 1 million views. You know, like,
right.
how can you, who gets that?
Right, right.
You know, as an
right.
independent artist. Those are treasured moments for me. I am glad that I took a chance on myself and pushed myself. Because we have to take chances on ourselves.
Right.
We always want people to take a chance on us. But then we don't want to take a chance on ourselves.
Right.
You have to put yourself out there sometimes. So I'm glad I did it. If I had to do it again, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I had a ball.
Well, Anise Records has a lot of foundation underneath it. And I'm looking forward to see who comes out next. Let's talk about my favorite song, Free.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And how did you come about singing that song?
Free. People love that song. So thank you for liking that. That song was one of the first songs that I wrote on my first album, and that was my story of me freeing myself
mm-hmm.
to trust myself to just fly
yeah,
and to feel free enough to step out in front and be a lead singer.
I believe it. And I love the video, too. It's sweet, simple.
Thank you.
You look beautiful. It's
Thank
just
you.
Just great.
Thank you.
And then you get a little gritty with Got Next, which I love. That's my 2022 theme song.
Yes. That's my Sister Ratchet
okay.
side of me, where I love rap and I love hip hop.
Right.
And my music does not convey that. And so I said, you know, I can do whatever kind of music I want to do. I want to do something with a hip hop West Coast feel, because
right.
Smith is my favorite rapper. And I'm like, I want to do what I want to do. So we did Got Next, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. And then you got I Just Want to Be Your Girl.
Well, you know, that's a remake.
Okay.
Of the song that Chapter 8 did with Anita Baker initially singing it.
Okay.
So that song was one of the songs that put Anita Baker out when
oh.
she was with the group. So Mike Powell, who I was talking about in the beginning, he wrote and produced that song on Anita Baker over 30 years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, Michael Powell has produced Anita Baker. He's produced Aretha Franklin. He's produced Gladys Knight. He's produced Olita Adams. You
wow.
know, he's produced Yolanda Adams. He's produced some of the iconic black women R&B singers in the industry.
Right.
And including me. I'm
right.
grateful for that my right. name is in on that list.
Right.
He's done, you know, all kind of stuff. So for him to believe in me
right.
and to say, hey, take this song and do something with this song. I said, okay, wow, okay.
And like you said, that's sometimes all we need is someone to just give us a chance and just say, hey, because when you're hungry,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I mentor a lot, and I tell people, never lose your hunger. Don't get too comfortable and settled in what you're doing. Stay a little hungry, you know?
You have to.
It's
unfortunate, but you do have to, because, you know, something will pass you by and you could miss an opportunity if you don't have your drive.
Now, let's talk about the new album that's going to come on out. What can we expect?
I am so excited about this new project. It's not titled yet.
Okay.
And we're working on that.
No worries.
But it is a little edgier than my first album. I'm more comfortable with my voice. I'm more confident in what my message is and where I want my music to go. And every project that I do, I want it to show growth.
Right.
And development and evolvement. So this album is going to show growth, development, and evolvement. And my first single off the album will be out March 22nd, and it's called Let Me Be.
Okay.
And it's got a little old school feel to it. There mm-hmm. there will be some old school sounds that you're going to remember.
Uh-huh.
But the song is fun and mid-tempo kind of upbeat.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun working on this song, and it's produced by Kenny Flaves, and Kenny Flaves comes out of Queen Latifah's Flaves production. I'm excited for that single to come out. I am excited for the album to come out. I want every song to tell a story. I want you to be able to close your eyes and listen to the lyrics and listen to the music and hear the story that we're telling with the song. The producers are incredible. So I mentioned Kenny Flaves is doing the first single. The other producers on the album, I have Marcus Devine and I have Cordell Walton. In fact, all of them are Grammy-nominated producers. Wow. And have worked with this numerous artists. Cordell Walton is currently Charlie Wilson's music director, and he produced Free, the song that you like.
Oh, okay.
So I think four more songs on my album, on this album. And then Marcus Devine is an incredible producer.
Beth, I see some amazing things happening for you, and I
thank
want you to
so
stay encouraged. So thank you for joining the team. And let the people know how they can stay in touch with you, your social media, your website.
Okay. My website is bethalwayssings.com.
Okay.
And that is also my Instagram and Twitter. It's @bethalwayssings.
Well, Beth, I thank you for coming through and spending time. I feel like I know you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
But thank you.
Yeah,
so
you know,
much.
I'm going to be coming through your area, I think. It was just announced publicly that we'll be on tour. I'm going to be on tour with Kim.
Oh, okay.
And Kim and Babyface tour. So I think we'll be coming through New York.
Wow. All right, sweetie. You have an awesome day.
Thank you so much.